T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
And now the pitch by Martinez. His option in and hits Gerald Williams on the left hand.
Dig your cleats in.
Now he's going to charge the mound. He's going to charge Martinez, and the fight is on. He got a right hand in before he's grabbed from behind by Barrett, and now the benches are empty.
It's time for hour two of the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris.
Yerzynski wanting to know, am I going? He is going.
And Mike Lynch.
It is a collision at the plate, and Yerzynski not only bangs into Barrett, bangs onto the plate.
Step up to the plate for hour two of the Hot Corner.
Posada getting into it with Barrett. I mean, there is some hooking going on in the bottom of two piles.
On 1080.
Rudez had helped. Whoa. Bautista got all he could handle with that. Wow. That's some pretty solid contact right there.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080 The Fan or wherever you get your podcasts. Speaking of podcasts, Beers on Us will drop tomorrow around 4. Should be a great episode. What's in the Box Part 2?
Very excited. I think we're probably going to have to make it multiple episodes based on the box we got.
Yes. A listener of the podcast who has decided to remain nameless, there are some more time-sensitive beers, but there are some barrel-aged stuff that we can kind of sit on. But there's two IPAs and two lagers. We could try to tackle all four tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or we could do we should probably do the both IPAs tomorrow.
Probably.
We can do the IPAs and either one of the lagers, or we can save the lagers and tackle a sour or a bourbon.
You know what?
I'll bring in the box, and we'll figure it out tomorrow.
We have time to decide.
We have time. Also, a little 2-year anniversary thing in the works, too. So keep your eyes peeled on that.
Yeah, that's we teased that a couple months ago, and we thought COVID was going to affect it. Lee Corso would say, not so fast.
Not so fast. Pays to have great friends in the industry. Some really cool people. So once we get that nailed down, we'll be beating that into your skulls left and right.
Never-ending beating into skulls.
Yeah,
not in a violent way, but in a loving way.
Yeah, we'll just spend 2 hours on the Hot Corner talking about it.
Really gentle punches.
Yeah. So we got a lot of stuff.
Love tap. Caresses.
we got some stuff to get to. I want to kind of get to no crowd and how that affects games, and also maybe a little Patty Mahomes. We'll get to that. But I want to start here with everything going on outside of COVID. You know, we have this awesome movement happening in Black Lives Matter and making sure that those are oppressed, that are no longer oppressed. And one thing that has always kind of irked me is something because, so full disclosure, personally, I've spent a lot of time in my life in Idaho. I grew up in Washington. I'm a Northwest native, and I've been back in Portland for almost 7 years now. And one thing that has always kind of like upset me is just like how poorly we treat our Native Americans here in the United States. But what's interesting is I think for a while we all kind of like blew off like bad team names. We're kind of like, yeah, we know, but it's not that bad. I think we're at the point now where we kind of realize it's not that bad.
And it is that bad.
It is that bad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I meant to say. Sorry. To the point where I will no longer root for the Cleveland baseball team.
Until they change the name.
Until they change the name. And that's the route I'm going. Some of it kind of breaks my heart on a selfish level. I have my World Series hat that I wore at Game 1 and Game 2 of the World Series in 2016. One of my most prized possessions. And it's got, you know, a very poor depiction of the mascot. So I'm curious.
Is that the classic Chief Wahoo hat?
It's the classic Chief Wahoo hat. And it's one of my favorite hats. It fits me great. It is a phenomenal memory of my mother and I celebrating baseball together. And that hat will, I just don't feel comfortable putting it on and walking in public.
Well, okay, then that's a good like mantelpiece hat. You know, just put it above the fireplace and have the memories, and it's for yourself. And I mean, you know, you're not someone who's promoting it, but you know, it's tied to a great moment in your life.
Yeah, so I'm curious. You know, today we heard some stuff about the Atlanta Braves have decided that they, at this moment, are not going to change the name of their team. However, they're going to look in and ending the Tomahawk Chop. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious by that because I thought they disbanded the Tomahawk Chop years ago.
I don't know if they did.
I think if my memory serves me correct.
Was it them or like Florida State maybe?
I thought that the Braves stopped playing over the loudspeaker.
The
song or like saying anything on the reader board, but the fans kept doing it. And they had the little foam axes.
It's an axe.
I don't know what you call it. It's like
it's an axe.
It's an old tribal tool. Yeah. And they kept doing it. So they're going to stop that. But I'm curious, is Braves insensitive?
No, I don't think so. I think there are plenty of Native American names, mascots for teams that are not insensitive.
Yeah, like the Seminoles.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually named after a tribe.
Yeah, a tribe in northern Florida.
Yeah, I mean, Braves, it signifies that they are brave people, right? I don't think that's insensitive.
They're not called like savages,
right?
Which would be terrible,
right? Whereas obviously you have Redskins, which is as insensitive as you can get. And Indians is not necessarily insensitive, but
it's the logo.
It's the logo mixed with the fact that they prefer to be called Native Americans. So it's just kind of changing the whole image as a whole. One overhaul, I should say. So I don't think Braves is bad. I'm riding this line personally where I feel like some of the cause of Black Lives Matter is getting lost in like this really, we might have talked about on this show, is getting lost in this really kind of like mundane changing of names.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that people who are supporting Black Lives Matter care that Aunt Jemima was a mascot for a syrup brand, right?
I see what you mean.
But for some reason, we're focusing very hard on eliminating these potentially insensitive things almost as a way to
distract from actually fixing the problem.
Making changes, right. Because those
are
easy.
Like white people that own the Washington Redskins are like, hey, we changed the name. See, we're not racist anymore. And it's like,
right. So I just want to be careful. I think the Redskins name needs to be changed, and it's going to be changed. The Indians name, sure.
I've been calling for it for a couple of years. I want the Spiders, baby. Yeah. That's what I want.
I do, too. I think that'd be a great name, and it's a very rare mascot. Only, what, Richmond in college has that as a mascot?
Correct.
I just think we got to be careful not to be overly focused on the small things. Like, I mean, I talked to Rashad on Sunday. He's like, I don't care that Aunt Jemima was like the mascot of a syrup brand.
No, man. It's all white guilt.
It's like Uncle Ben's rice is gone. Like, so Uncle Ben is a black guy. Who cares? Right. Like, is that racist now? So it's like this overdoing of changing those things to be like, look, we care, when in reality, you're not making the hard changes. So in some cases, I feel like we got to be careful not to go overboard, and the Braves would, in my mind, include that. But of course, the Redskins and Indians do not. Those are team names that need to be changed, so they're being changed.
Let's do it. I want the Spiders. I just Wikipedia'd the Spiders real quick. So bear with me. This is their history in a nutshell. Cleveland Spiders were a professional baseball team in Cleveland, Ohio. Team competed at major league level from 1887 to 99. First as a member of the now...
1899, to be clear.
Correct. First as a member of the now defunct American Association, and then later the National League. Spiders played at two different venues, blah, blah, blah. Featuring future Hall of Fame pitcher Cy Young, the team finished in the National League three times in 92, 95, and 96, 1800s. Although the Spiders never won a National League pennant, the team did win the 1895 Temple Cup, a two-team championship playoff predating the World Series. Spiders beat that year's pennant winners, the original Baltimore Orioles, 4-1 in a best of seven series.
Where did that Baltimore Orioles team go?
I don't know.
Who did they become?
I don't know. It just says the original Baltimore Orioles.
I used to have a poster on my wall where it had the timeline of every team's names and changing.
Oh, really?
It was really cool. I think it actually is still hanging in my bedroom there, too.
Oh,
actually.
Wow.
You know, who were the original Baltimore Orioles? Who did they become?
I could be mistaken, but I think they were either in... they might have been in St. Louis or Cleveland, but I could just be getting that mixed up because he's...
Contracted after the 1899 season when the NL reduced its number of teams from 12 to 8, limiting cities which endured the next half century. No franchises were located further west than St. Louis, south of Washington.
I'm pretty sure they went to St. Louis.
They came back in 1901.
Yeah, so... as one of American League's 8 charter teams in 1901, this particular franchise spent its first year in Milwaukee as the Milwaukee Brewers before moving to St. Louis to become the St. Louis Browns in 1902.
Right.
After 52 years in St. Louis, the franchise was purchased in November to re-become the Baltimore
Orioles. And that's why I thought it was Cleveland, because of the Cleveland Browns. But
gotcha.
The St. Louis Browns. There you go. History.
In 1899, the owners of the Spiders purchased a second team in St. Louis, a practice later banned due to conflict of interest, renamed them the St. Louis Perfectos. The Robinson brothers, who owned it, transferred all of the Spiders' top talent, including Cy Young, as well as future Hall of Famers Jesse Burkett and Bobby Wallace, to St. Louis. The 1899 Cleveland Spiders finished 20-134, a record which remains the worst in Major League Baseball history, after which the team disbanded.
Mm-hmm. We always that's the like the game, name of the game for them. They're famous for being terrible.
Spiders outfielder Luis Sakalexis played for the team for 3 seasons and is often credited as the first Native American to play professional baseball. The Cleveland Indians, major league successor to the Spiders in Cleveland, have long cited him as inspiration for the team name, though this claim is disputed.
Ooh, bam. I found the original poster I had.
Nice. Look cool.
Yeah.
You should buy it.
Well, I could probably just get it from my parents' house.
Oh, that you still got it.
I think it's still hanging in my childhood bedroom. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, nice.
Oh, this is an updated one until 2016. Interesting.
Interesting. All right, cool. Well, there's your history lesson for the day. And let's not have racist team names. How about that? Yeah. All in agreement? 1, 2, 3, high five.
And break.
Not really. Don't high five. That's like bad for you. All right. When we come back, I do want to touch in the effects of no fans in stadium and will it have a huge effect on the game? We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
There was talk of like the Cleveland Commodores. And I mean, unless it's Lionel Richie and the gang, like, I don't like it.
And now the Commodores.
It's why I'm easy.
Are they trying to keep the Native American imagery?
No. That's the worst part. I hope not.
Well, I mean... I know, but what I'm saying is the Redskins could have changed to a more acceptable Native American mascot, mm-hmm. right? One that is not a negative depiction of that group of people, changed the logo, but kept kind of the theme. They came out and said they're not going to. That's what I'm asking. Are the Indians considering keeping it in a respectful way?
I don't know how you make it respectful because I don't like...
Well, I mean, is there like a name of a tribe that's local to the area that you could name it? Like, again, the Seminoles is a totally respectful name.
Well, most of the tribes in Ohio, if I'm not mistaken, are Sioux, or branches of Sioux tribes.
Okay, so Cleveland Sioux? Cleveland Fighting Sioux?
No, because the North Dakota, University of North Dakota allowed, used to be right? The Fighting Sioux, and they changed that.
That's true.
I think we should just walk away from it.
Yeah.
Okay. Is what I think.
The one thing I view it as is almost like, it is an avenue that you can support that group of people.
Well, totally.
Like, it's not like you need
in
to
like
avoid
a historical context.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, if you think about it, and this might be controversial, but the picture depicted on the Redskins logo is not that offensive. It looks like a native in a headdress. It's the name and the association that we now have with that picture is what drives that so bad.
It's a little bit stereotypy, the picture, which like you don't.
Yeah. But it's not. It's not
Chief Wahoo.
It's not red with big cheeks smiling. And he used to have a cigar coming out with a feather up on top.
Doesn't it have like the like wart thing on the face and like, you know, that kind
of. Oh, that might be true. It's a little.
It's like it's kind of on that border of like.
Yeah, you're
respectful
right.
And
you're
not
right.
Respectful.
I forget the minute details in it that make it really bad. One of my favorite pictures is a Native American standing outside of the Washington complex, and it has the logo and it says Redskins under it. And he is standing there and he's got some really cool tats on his left arm, and he's wearing a deep maroon shirt and it's got the logo on it, but it's just generic white guy's face and it says Caucasian on the bottom. I'm like, that's a great picture.
Yeah.
That is an awesome picture.
Monty Jones wore that on TV once.
Call him that. See how that goes. Yeah. Just Caucasian, just average white dude. Anyway, I did want to get into this real quick because I do want to kind of talk a little Patty Mahomes. We'll do that here in about 5 minutes or so. But I've been, as you have as well, Mike, I've been watching a lot of the English Premier League. I tried to watch a little Bundesliga, but I don't know the players as well as I and the teams as well as I do the English Premier League. And I'm not going on a soccer rant, so don't freak out. But when it first started,
baseball show.
When it first started, it was super weird, and the play was extremely clunky, and it just didn't look right. It didn't look like the best league in the world.
Yeah, you get 3 weeks off or 3 months off, and you are not in rhythm anymore.
Yeah. Let's fast forward. I mean, how many weeks has it been now? 2-3 weeks?
I think June 17th. So 3 weeks. Yeah, I think June 17th was the first game.
Okay. And
a lot of games. They've been playing every day.
Yep. And I've been watching a lot of the games with no sound.
No crowd noise, you mean?
No enhanced crowd noise is what NBC Sports calls it. And after like the first two games that every team played, it's been good football. And the no crowd noise hasn't really distracted me. Man City looks good. Liverpool's still good. United's doing their thing. You're seeing teams, you're seeing road matches kind of be a little more even. And so what I would say as you out there listening, and if you disagree, 503-250-1080, if you're worried that no crowd noise is going to severely affect your entertainment and the level of play of these games, I would caution you to be optimistic because I haven't seen it in that league. I think it'll work in baseball. We've seen it basically works in golf, but golf's kind of born to do that. Like even if we get to football and there's no fans in the crowd, and I know we heard today the Ravens and Chiefs are looking at stuff to try to figure out how to get some fans in the stadium. If there are in fact no,
which is moronic, by the way,
agreed. If there are in fact no fans, I think you should be optimistic and watch it. And I think you will still find yourself enjoying the sport that you love.
Yeah, I mean,
is it going to be crappy if Aaron Judge hits a walk-off home run against the Dodgers in game one of the World Series to put the Yanks up 1-0 in Yankee Stadium and no one's there? Yeah, that's going to be awkward. But I think at the same time, you're going to see him run around the bases freaking out. And you're going to be at home high-fiving your dad and your brother, you know, because you're diehard Yankee fans and you're all in Judge jerseys and you're not even going to listen to fans anyway. And Joe Buck's going to give you a canned call. So it's going to be like normal.
Hey, come on. Come on. Joe Buck is better than you're saying.
And the Red Sox win the World Series. First time in 100 years. Nice one, Joe.
Yeah, he used to be worse. He's better now. Come on, give him some credit. He's gotten better. He admitted that he was a little bit too trying not to cover the moment, but he's gotten the energy
you
up.
You gotta cover the moment, bro. That's what we do energy. Here. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run. Go crazy. Go crazy. That's the stuff, man.
Of course.
Woo! Woo!
But I think as a
I got the juices flowing right now.
I think as a
give me some baseball. Sorry. You continue. Good? I'm good.
I think as a national guy.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sorry.
I think as a national guy, he probably had pressure to try to be more neutral.
Sure.
So I think that's what he did. But I think Joe Buck is very good and gets way too little respect for how good he is.
Red Sox also beat the St. Louis Cardinals in that World Series. Just saying.
I agree with you that the fans being gone is not really hurting me. I'm watching it on TV, so I'm getting the with piped in crowd noise. I actually don't dislike it. The first 2 weeks, it was awful.
Well, it's not as big as I thought it was going
to
be.
No, the timing of it was off. So, like, something would happen, and the person would have to, like, switch tracks to the excited cheer. So, like, it would be 3 seconds delayed. They've gotten really good at kind of timing it well to where you kind of just don't notice it. It's just in the background as, like, a hum of crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I think...
Reminds me of Vuvuzelas in the South Africa World Cup.
Kind of, yeah.
Just as...
It's a little louder than that. And that World Cup, it was like...
I fell asleep during those early games. You'd like get up. I was like so excited to watch some matchup and the Vuvuzelas hit. And you're just like...
Thanks for the white noise, guys.
Yeah.
I think every sport should pipe in some sort of crowd noise because it just has a sense of normalcy.
When you're watching.
Yes, when you're watching.
You don't think they should when they're playing?
No, I don't think so.
Because I haven't seen it. It doesn't seem like it's affecting the EPL.
Well, they're not piping it into the stadium.
Right. And it doesn't seem like it's affecting them. I mean, Man City scoring goals like they're going out of style.
No, I don't think that the players will really notice much of a difference. I think the pressure will be slightly lower because of it, like in high-pressure situations.
Yeah.
The crowd won't be, like, on edge.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of watching it purely as just a viewer, I would prefer that they put in some sort of crowd noise, even if it's just a basic hum in the background, because it makes it feel right. And I think in football that's less important because in football I feel like generally you don't hear the crowd noise as much as in like soccer or baseball.
I would agree. I think baseball focuses a lot on hearing
basketball too.
Football focuses a lot on hearing the quarterback direct traffic right before the snap. Yeah. And then you hear the pads hit. And then you listen to Al Michaels or Tony Romo, whether you like play by play or color. I mean, I feel like they showcase their announcers more.
Right. NBA, I think the crowd noise is important. You think about like a big run a team is going on and they hit a dagger three and it's just like, wow.
When Kobe throws that ball up to Shaq and throws it down against the Blazers and runs up the court with the fingers in the air. It's like
a really, really bad reminder for a lot of fans.
I've felt it because I'm watching this TV and my team is crumbling and I'm just hearing the Staples Center go ape.
So I think it'll be fine. I think as a fan, even without crowd noise piped in, which I think they're going to do anyway, it'll be fine. It's still the sport you like.
Yeah,
it's just going to have a little less energy, that's all.
I just know that there's probably a lot of people out there that are really worried. And I would just say a lot of those people, especially if you're NFL fans, probably aren't watching all that much golf and definitely aren't watching Premier League football. That as guys that love all sports and love crowds, you're going to be okay. That's all I want to say. I'll rest my case there. You're going to be okay. We come back, hot takes on Patty Mahomes. Not really, but we'll see. Maybe I'm in the minority. But first, there's my man Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
It's 8:36. We'll wrap up this show.
That is a fun bit I've seen on Twitter lately. Describe your favorite movie or your favorite sports moment in the most boring way possible.
Yeah.
Mine for movie was Inception. And I think I said something like, man changes trajectory of company while sleeping.
Oh, nice.
Because that is the whole point of the movie.
Could you say...
Hashtag spoiler alert.
For like Matrix, could you just be like, there is no spoon?
No. So
that's pretty boring. You're like, there's no spoon.
I know. But it doesn't give you a good enough indication of what the movie is unless you're like a diehard Matrix person.
Okay.
I think a lot of people slightly failed at this when I saw them on Twitter. It was like really not that boring sounding when they described the movie. And it's like...
For Matrix, it's like IT specialist gets a new job.
Yes.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the exact way to think about it, right?
Well, this got brought up because I was just scrolling through the old Reddit. And it was describe your favorite sports moment as boring as possible. And Liverpool for sure commented, someone took a corner faster than usual. And that is one of my all-time favorite sports moments.
I saw one from...
TAA, baby.
It was your least favorite sports moment in the most boring way possible. And a buddy of mine who's a Red Sox fan said, the ball that didn't spin.
Oh, Tim Wakefield. Brutal.
To Aaron Boone. And it's like...
Brutal.
Ha-ha!
Yeah, how are you a knuckleball pitcher? The one time you don't throw the knuckle.
Yeah, the first pitch you throw in the game, it's just like, back,
from A-Rod. Dude, those last two, he legitimately sounds like a duck.
He really does.
It is insane.
You want to hear my hot Patty Mahomes take?
He didn't get paid enough. <Hey. clears
throat> Give me that hot take.
Give me that hot take.
Give me a hot take now.
Give me that hot take. So I'm just going to put my mouth under the nozzle and just pull. Doesn't have a huge load either.
Whoa.
So I don't know how much of it is a hot take, but I've been listening to people talk about this for a while. There's a couple things I want to get at. First and foremost, I remember we were sitting here when Mike Trout signed his deal. His gargantuan deal.
Were we sitting here?
I think we were.
Okay.
Or we at least talked about it.
I'm sure we did.
And I remember saying something along the lines of, I was like, yeah, I'm okay with that. If I'm the Angels, I got lucky I didn't have to pay $500 million. Because jersey sales, ticket sales, da 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 da. I honestly think the Chiefs kind of got a good deal. The kid's already won a Super Bowl. He's already won an MVP. Super Bowl MVP too, correct, right?
I don't know. I think so.
He's got to be.
I mean, he should be.
Also, should have made the Super Bowl the year before.
Right.
But D Ford lined up off sides.
Right. So there's that. I've heard a lot of people kind of say that he won't finish that contract. And I actually strongly disagree with that. I think he will finish that contract. Because what Patty Mahomes reminds me of, and a little bit in style too, which is why I'm making this comparison, is he reminds me of Brett Favre. Not just in the way he plays, but in the sense of got a title when he was younger with the team.
Okay.
Was in a city that beloved him.
Okay.
Doesn't necessarily seem like a guy that needs all the attention.
I don't know. He sent DPs to Jen Sterger.
Well, I mean, I did too.
I just didn't make it through the entire swath of DPs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she was going to click on Patrick Harris, but Mahomes sounded cooler than Harris, so she clicked on that. That I do think he will finish out that contract in Kansas City. Now, does he go somewhere after that? Sure, maybe. But Brett Favre finished out his contract in Green Bay.
Well,
I just think that place loves him so much, and he's already got what he needs. He's got the money, he's got the fame, he's got his Super Bowl. Unless he just completely goes downhill and they let him go, I actually think he'll stick around.
Well, it's tough. I kind of feel similarly, but I don't think he's going to finish out this contract. He has a lot of opt-outs if certain things don't get hit. So I could see him opting out when the market shifts and then getting more money in the future just by re-signing with them. I think he will stay a Chief. Mm-hmm. He does, to me, seem like a guy who will be a Chief for life. Pains me to say as a Bronco fan that I'll have to face this guy two times a year for the foreseeable future. But I could see him staying there his whole career. Seems like he fits there. He seems like a guy with a good head on his shoulders that understands like stability and loyalty and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, every player who has like these opt-outs, unless they, like you said, go downhill, they take the opt-out because they're going to make more money.
Yeah. I mean, A-Rod opted out of that deal like the second he could when he got to New York.
Right. And
I guess that's fair.
The max money is what, $503 million? That is highly unlikely to happen unless he like gets every single bonus in his thing, which is not going to happen. So
what if he wins 10 Super Bowls
in a row? Then he'll get almost every bonus, I'm sure. But he won't. So he won't make $503 million. He'll make
470.
A gargantuan amount of money. I'm not trying to say that. That's not the case. But because it's a lot of incentive-based stuff, I think he will probably try to redo it because the market's going to change.
So when we see Mike Trout sign that deal, we're like, duh. Mike Trout's the best player in baseball by far. Like, we're so good with that. Not in comparison if Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. I mean, I hear a lot of talk. Finally, everyone's talking about Russ being the best quarterback in the NFL. I still feel that way just because little more knowledge, experience, and I'll take that. But do you think...
I don't know, man. Have you watched Nathan Peterman? Loves throwing it to one team on the field. Seven times in a game.
Yeah. When Trout signed this deal, we were like, yep, good for me. You feel the same way with Mahomes? When you see the Chiefs give that deal, are you kind of like, whoa, Kansas City, what are you doing? Are you just kind of like, for the most part, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Where are you? I'm curious where your feeling is on it.
Remember, when
we do football, I ask you questions.
Right, right. Yeah, the deal is fine. I don't care. You could have paid him $800 million. I would have been like, good, keep Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, okay.
I think he's the best quarterback in the league. He is the star in the league right now. He is the face of the NFL. in my opinion.
Because if I heard Baltimore did this with Lamar Jackson, I'd be like, ooh, don't love it.
Well, Lamar Jackson hasn't won a Super Bowl.
Right, but he's won an MVP.
Right.
People think he's top five.
Right, but he hasn't won a Super Bowl. And he's only done it for 1 year, whereas Mahomes has done it for 2 years plus 2 years, 3 years now?
2 years.
Plus the one game at the end of his first year.
2 years in a game. Who was the quarterback when Patty Mahomes was on the bench?
Alex Smith.
Dang it. I was hoping you didn't know that.
Yeah.
That guy's dead. Cross him off the list.
His leg is dead, at least. Or at least. No. His leg is very much a robot now.
Yeah.
So dead? Debatable. Yeah, I mean, you could have given Patrick Mahomes literally anything.
Yeah.
And I would have said, okay. Yeah, you got to do it.
Yeah, I kind
of there was
like
talk that they were going to give him a percentage of the cap in his salary so that as the cap went up, his money would go up, which is a really stupid thing to do because you don't want to lock it all into that number.
Yeah.
Because you can manipulate the cap and totally. Do like bonuses and all that kind of stuff to change how it affects it. That would have been dumb. And they didn't do that, which is good. But yeah, I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes. Give him a deal.
Yep. I like the kid. Chief I think he's really great. I'll take Russ for the interim, but we'll be watching your career with great attention.
It is Patrick Mahomes.
It is Patty Mahomes. Kirk Gibson shows Dennis Eckersley how to use male hormone pump to make it home.
Wow.
I love it.
Wow.
I wouldn't really say that's the most boring way to describe that moment.
But I love it.
But I like where your head's at.
I don't believe what I just saw. See, it's great.
But I see, that's the problem is that makes me intrigued to watch the clip.
You're like, male hormone pump? Make it home.
What?
What is going on?
Yeah, it's like.
It's still kind of good, though.
It's got to be more something like, it's going to be bad off the top of my head, but like guy with limp goes home.
Yeah.
That's a boring way to describe that.
Guy who can barely walk gets home.
Right.
Crowd goes wild.
Again, you're adding too much.
Yeah.
You're adding too much.
Well, that's tricky. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
We decided to put on The Italian Job, and I think I've seen about 2 minutes of it. You're right, Mike. It's on the Paramount Network, which is just commercials with a little bit of movie in between.
Yeah, Paramount shows the first 25 minutes straight, and you're like, oh, wow, this channel's great. And then it's like every 5 minutes commercial.
Told you, we should have watched the 2008 Rambo on AMC.
But I didn't want to.
You wanted to watch commercials instead?
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to watch wrestling in here anymore, so we haven't done that.
I like how you say not allowed as if I have a remote over here to turn it off.
Well, I just know that if I put it on, you're going to be like, oh, my God.
I'm no, I got into, what? I mean, got into it's a rough term. I was intrigued by AEW because there was that Japanese girl in lingerie that won the first fight that I saw. And I
not
was
the
like,
champ anymore. She doesn't even wrestle.
Okay. Well, fine then. But yeah, I thought she was interesting as a character,
yeah,
even though
too.
It was on mute.
I did enjoy it, too.
But generally, I laugh at wrestling when it's on TV because at least the ones that we watch on Wednesdays, they do a very bad job of selling their hits.
Well, AEW is not great, and then the other one is minor league.
Oh, well, that would make sense. And the camera cuts aren't very good in AEW either.
Oh, this is a Great American Bash for NXT, though.
Okay.
Yeah, who's that? Is that the Velveteen Dream?
Well, his neck is now.
Is that like for the troops or something?
No, it's an old WCW pay-per-view.
There's a good It's Always Sunny episode.
Oh,
where
so
they...
like this is just a replay?
No. This is live.
Oh.
But
is it live or just being aired currently?
Aired currently, yes. Okay. But it is up to date. The Great American Bash is an old WCW pay-per-view to counteract SummerSlam. So it's always a big-time summer pay-per-view. It's not WrestleMania, but it's like a big-time pay-per-view for old-school WCW.
There's an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where they put on a wrestling event like for the troops, and they try to like come up with characters that are endearing for the troops, and then like the villain comes out dressed as the Taliban, and all the veterans in the crowd, boo!
Yeah, dude,
boo!
Yeah, man. Yeah, you're like, you can't do that anymore, man.
Rowdy Piper, rest in peace, he's in that episode. He's the maniac, and he is like
Portland's own,
and he is like literally insane in that.
Wait,
like,
are there fans there?
They are.
There's like a plexiglass.
There are other wrestlers.
Blow up dolls?
And they're just wrestlers. Banging on the plexiglass like it's hockey?
I believe the original, like the WCW Great American Bash, I believe that is the birth of the NWO. I believe at a Great American Bash, the Outsiders had to face Sting, Lex Luger, and Macho Man Randy Savage. Kevin Nash and Scott Hall are the Outsiders, and they had a mystery guest. And they were losing, or the Randy Savage was losing, and out comes Hogan. And everyone's like, Hogan's here to save WCW, save the day. And then he dropped the leg on Randy Savage, and the crowd was like, boo, this is terrible. And that's when the Hulk went bad.
Turned heel.
Boom.
Hollywood Hogan.
Hollywood Hogan, NWO.
Yeah, that just reminds me of that meme of Hulk Hogan spray painting NWO on the side of like a trailer or something. Yeah.
I'm very much enjoying the acrobatic jumps over the ropes.
Yeah. I don't know who the guy in the red pants is, but that's Johnny. I mean, that's Johnny Gargano.
Some hot wrestling play-by-play.
Yeah, Johnny Gargano's great. That guy's a legend.
Is he?
Yeah.
Because he so far has not been doing very well in this fight.
What do you mean? He just speared him through the ropes.
I know, but he didn't get to hold him down. And now the last little mini stanza of it was him getting his ass kicked.
All right.
Whoa.
This is, wow, that's quite a position.
Yes. Getting very sexual all of a sudden.
I'm sorry. Yeah, there's some things that go down
like
in wrestling.
Wrestling's never been sexual. It's 100% sexual.
Just, I mean, that's like.
See, like that.
He just helped him put his hands on his leg. He
Michael,
like,
this is choreographed acrobatic athletic entertainment.
Choreographed athletic acrobatic entertainment?
Yeah.
Kai.
I hate you.
No, you don't.
I know. That's not true. Yeah, it's not true.
Oh, wow. They're missing each other now.
Yeah, yeah.
What is happening?
His hands
Did he
went
just
a little.
Grab his junk?
His hands went a little low there.
That was a true grab right there.
There's a wrestling move in the Japan wrestling leagues where a dude will like just grab a dude's junk.
Yeah, and they like and hold freeze. It. They're like,
and act like it's some sort of chokehold, and they don't know what to do.
They can't do anything. Their hands like are at the side, like they're not like actually trying to get his hands off him. They're just like
just paralyzed.
Yeah, paralyzed.
Can't do a thing.
So now they're both just laying on the mat.
Well, yeah, dude, he got kicked in the face. Look at that.
And why is the other guy laying on the mat?
Because he's exhausted from,
from kicking him in the face.
Yeah, from exerting all that energy.
And grabbing the cash and prizes.
That's also part of the choreography, Michael.
Right, right. Sorry.
They're whispering something to each other now.
No, yeah. The ref does that.
Okay, next part is the suplex.
No, I actually listened to this podcast. It's Chris Jericho's podcast.
That's actually a solid podcast.
Yep, yeah, it's actually a pretty good podcast. And he doesn't always talk about wrestling, but sometimes he does. He had Mike Chioda, who's a longtime WWE ref.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch Stone Cold Days, like, you know Mike Chioda. Mike Chioda's on there talking about it. He kind of, like, opened the curtain a little bit on, like, what refs do. The job sounds tough. Job sounds real hard.
When you see the ref throw the X up over their head, you know that S has actually hit the fan.
Yep, yep.
Someone's actually hurt and might die here.
Yep, yep. It was pretty cool. So I recommend it if you ever want to listen to that. It's one of the more recent ones, too, so you don't get to dig real deep.
That looked like a dancing move right there. They, like, spun around each other and...
Ooh, look at this.
A little pirouette.
Hey.
Oh, tombstone. Oh,
hey, 69. Let's go.
It's called a tombstone.
Oh, tombstone, of course.
At least in my bedroom.
Oh, my God.
She thinks it's one thing, and then, boom, you slam her ass to the ground.
Yeah!
Joe, I think it's time to play center field after that comment.
You just take her arms and, you know, the rest in peace over the chest, and you just count it to three with your tongue out, and you're like, that'll do it.
Make sure to roll the eyes back so you can see the whites.
Yeah, yeah. And just crawl into bed and pass out. Call her a day. Thanks, babe.
I'm very uncomfortable.
Good fight. That was pay-per-view level, and this is just a house show? Nice.
My prediction is he's going to miss his jump on him and then get pinned.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks pretty bad.
What is happening right now?
They're fighting, Michael.
Okay.
All right. For Joe Fisher, Mike Lynch, I'm Patrick Harris. We'll be back next week. Make sure to download the Beers on Us podcast. It'll be up tomorrow around 4-ish, wherever you get your podcasts, including at Tanny the Fan. Should be a good one. Outside of that, rest in peace, my homie Dan. Be good and take care of each other and those that can't take care of themselves.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.